It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you're well. I hope you're amazing. I hope you're great. I hope you are all of the things. I will be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. This is a 4-hour show. It gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer holding things down in New York City, Ryan Botcher. We've already had a full show. We talked about George Pickens being moved from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Dallas Cowboys. He's Jerry's problem now, okay? And Mike Tomlin, let's be real. The Steelers are going to be on the same plane until they add Aaron Rodgers. Even if Aaron Rodgers joins the Steelers, it'll be the same old story. Playoffs and out. Sorry. We unfortunately talked about the injury to Steph Curry. Steph Curry now dealing with a grade 1 hamstring strain. This is the worst part about the NBA playoffs. Guys get hurt, and it just changes the trajectory of a team. That's just the name of the game. Hey, we're going to talk about which team is in more trouble. Is it the Warriors without Curry for about a week? Is it the Cleveland Cavaliers? We'll get into that in a second. And then, of course, in about an hour from now, exactly an hour, because it's Wednesday, I'm going to be sharing with you a new top six list. We're going to take a look at the top six clutch athletes ever. Yeah, ever. Because Tyrese Halliburton, man, they were chanting overrated at that guy last night. And he said, overrated what? Overrated who? And so we have so much more to get into, especially, hey, how about this? In 20 minutes, Dustin Dobrik is going to join us, covers the Indiana Pacers for the Indianapolis Star. That'll be a fun conversation. You got Tyrese Halliburton, who has a gold medal. He's been a multiple-time All-Star. His peers just voted him as the most overrated player in the entire NBA. And then last night, early in the game, as this team is getting smacked around, down 15, down 20, can't break, you know, being down 10 points. Early in the game, the fans in Cleveland were yelling at Halliburton that he was overrated. Donovan Mitchell stood at half court while they were already beating the hell out of the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton had like 9 points at this point in time. They're beating the hell out of him. And they're yelling at him, overrated. He's being serenaded with chants of overrated. Mitchell basically told the fans, stop. Please. Like, he basically gave them the quarterback, quieting down the crowd so he could run the offense. He told everybody, stop. And then we saw what happened at the end of the game. Pacers came back and won. 120 to 119. It was crazy to watch that game. I was right here in the studio trying to watch it and talk to y'all about what's going on. The Pacers won 120 to 119. Halliburton ended the night with 19 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. But he missed a free throw, got his own damn rebound, ran out to the top of the three-point line, kind of juked and stepped back, and knocked down the game-winning three. He then proceeded to do the Sam Cassell, how can I say this, the Big Cojones dance, which I'm sure at some point in time will net him a fine, unless the NBA just like, eh, forget about it. It was one time. Okay. Tyrese Halliburton after the game. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. The fans are yelling at him, overrated, while they're beating him up. And then he ultimately sent them home. Listen to what Tyrese Halliburton had to say about that overrated chant.
That one was unexpected. I didn't know we had beef, but yeah, I guess that, I mean, good for them, man. I that came out of nowhere, but it's just I think now that that label's there, they're all, that's how it's going to be every time we play somebody. Every time on the road, he'll probably follow me until the next poll comes out, and then we'll see if I'm number one again. But, you know, for me, I just control what I can, man. Yeah, I mean, overrate that.
Overrate that. Okay. He is going to go to town with that forever. Like, he's never going to he's going to put that. The Indiana Pacers, I don't expect them to win the championship. I don't expect them to make the championship. But wherever they get eliminated, however their season ends, Tyrese Haliburton, I would be shocked if he threw that on a T-shirt. If he walked around with that on a T-shirt later on this year in October, just to kind of have his own rallying cry. Professional athletes are always looking for that next edge. They're looking for an edge. They're looking for something to kind of make them uncomfortable. They got to hate somebody. They got to hate a thing. Haliburton initially said, oh, yeah, by the way, guys, it doesn't bother me what people think about me. I only care about the guys in my locker room. And then he hit one big shot. And he's like, hey, overrate that. And last night, he hits another big shot. He's like, oh, I didn't know me and the fans had beef. Man, I saw some comments. People are pretty accurate in saying this. I think so, that Tyrese Haliburton is nothing but Reggie Miller reincarnated. And granted, he got a lot of ways to go before he becomes one of the greatest shooters, one of the greatest clutch performers, a Hall of Famer like Reggie Miller. He got a long way to go. But he's certainly a pain in the ass like Reggie Miller. And with these Indiana Pacers now up 2-0 against the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cavaliers are hurting. This is painful for them right now. Last night, no Mobley, ankle. No Hunter, thumb. No Garland, toe. They're down 0-2, and they have to go out to Indianapolis for the next game. Down 0-2. Donovan Mitchell, this man went out there and scored 48, 49 points, and they still lost. And he was saying after the game, it's my fault. Listen to his response to this reporter.
Donovan, I know you were in there on the rebound at the end. Just, it looked like
maybe I should have grabbed it. I should have grabbed the ball. I should have grabbed it. I was right there. So, that's on me. I didn't mean to cut you off, Barry. Maybe you were, but I should have grabbed the ball.
Yeah, well, let's be real. And Tyrese Haliburton wasn't boxed out from the first damn place. And I still think the Cavaliers have a good chance of coming back and winning this series. Because you think about sprained thumbs and sprained ankles and hyperextended toes. That's a lot of injuries, sorry. It sounds very painful. I don't want none of those things. The Cavaliers still have life. You know, they ain't go out of here and win 60-plus games in a regular season because they're a bunch of pushovers. Unfortunately, they ran out of gas. They ran out of juice. The Pacers went on a run, and they couldn't score because they were missing their top offensive weapons. And Donovan Mitchell, I mean, almost had 50 points just to keep them alive. The Cavaliers still have life. Meanwhile, the game that took place afterwards, I got to be honest, I'm not feeling good about the Golden State Warriors. I'm not. Buddy Hield is going to have to really, he's going to have to put on a cape. You know, Jimmy Butler, since he joined the Golden State Warriors, it's always been about, and Steph Curry is the best guy. Steph Curry is Batman and I'm Robin. Steph Curry is now out for a week minimum, a week at minimum with a hamstring strain. He's 37 years old. I know Steph Curry looks like he runs marathons on his days off. You just going to push him to come back? I wouldn't. And they're going to have to see what they can do without him being there. Last night, they got the job done against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Buddy Hield. You know that last game, the game before to advance? Last night, he had 24 points. So he's been on a heater. Jimmy Butler had 20. Draymond had 18 points. Wow, yeah, Draymond Green actually scored the basketball. And Anthony Edwards, I guess he was asleep at the wheel. This man had 1 point in the first half. He decided to wake up at the end and only have 22. And Minnesota never caught up. They lost 99-88. Forget the Cleveland Cavaliers. Forget those guys. I'm more concerned with the Golden State Warriors. I mean, they can be happy with what they did last night. But getting this news about Steph Curry today, man, it puts them in a bad spot. It was a lot of jokes last night as they won. Listen to this. Buddy Hield is sitting next to Jimmy Butler. And he's like, you know what? Tonight, forget you, Jimmy. I was Batman. Me.
Tonight, Jimmy became Batman and Buddy went from Alfred to Robin. Do you guys have any comments on that declaration?
No.
I'll start out.
No. I'm Batman today. I saved the day. He's still Robin.
All right. Well, I'm still Robin, yes. And Steph's still Batman. And Buttered is still who he is.
Call me Buttered.
No. I like how they have a pecking order here. I like that, huh? Batman, Robin, Alfred. Did Batman have a dog? I mean, we talked about Batman a couple of days ago. Ryan, is there a pecking order after Alfred? Or who? Commissioner Gordon comes after him?
Commissioner Gordon, you go Batgirl. There's a bunch of ones. Nightwing.
Wait. No, you're going too far now. Isn't Robin Nightwing? Isn't that the same guy?
Yeah, there's a bunch of Robins, though. But, like, okay. Nightwing is, like, emo phase, I want to be away from you, Dad, type of thing.
Okay. But in the normal pecking order.
Yeah, Batman, Robin, Alfred is the three.
But then after Alfred, who comes after him? Commissioner Gordon, right? No?
Yep, Commissioner Gordon, and then Commissioner Gordon's daughter.
Oh, my God. Commissioner Gordon got a daughter fighting crime, too?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that the Golden State Warriors might be down to that. With no Steph Curry, it's looking bleak, if you ask me. If you got to rely on Buddy Hield, who is pretty up and down himself, and then Pajemski, and then you think about Gary Payton Jr., this is already an old team. Led by Steph Curry, who's 37. You got, what, Jimmy Butler and Draymond are like 35, 36-ish. How the hell are they going to keep up with this young team? I don't expect the Minnesota Timberwolves to just, you know, roll over and die. They're the young guns. And unless they are so young that they are thinking that this series is in the bag with no Steph Curry, they need to win. I'm sorry. If you cannot win this series with Steph Curry missing 2 to 3 games minimum, you don't deserve to win anything. And last night, Anthony Edwards, was he out to lunch? Did he not want to be aggressive? Was he just like, I'm just going to pass? I don't know what his deal was. 1 point in the first half, he had a brain lock. It was very, very simple. You know what? After the game, Anthony Edwards said, yeah, we lost, and it's my fault.
Just keep shooting. I mean, yeah, that's the name of the game. You can't worry about the last shot. You know, take the next one. Shoot it with confidence. And I think we've been doing that. Like Drew said, I think we just didn't play well today. And, you know, people are going to try to blame whoever. They can blame me. I just didn't play good enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. 1 point in the first half. This is the guy that everybody says, oh, he knocked off Kevin Durant last year. Oh, this year he's knocking off LeBron James. Oh, well, you can't knock off Steph Curry because he ain't playing. Okay. And everybody loves Anthony Edwards. Everybody loves his enthusiasm. Everybody loves his style of play. Everybody loves how open and candid and how real he is. Everybody loves and appreciates it. Everybody's entitled to a bad game. Last night has to be the worst game that he has this series. Last night has to be the worst game that he has this entire playoffs for however long the Timberwolves play. The Timberwolves need to advance. The Cavaliers, come on. The Pacers have evened things up, got them 2-0. I think the Cavs can push this. They can move this series to the limit. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they have no excuse. I would make Jimmy Butler work until he can't work anymore. Ryan, remember that famous image of Jimmy Butler in the bubble? He's kind of leaning against the table and he's out of gas. You know that image I'm talking
100%.
About? 100%. The one
heat? He's bended over, sweating.
Yeah. That has to be the image of Jimmy Butler. The Minnesota Timberwolves have to just say, nah, no Buddy Hield. No. Ain't nobody else. Jimmy and Jimmy only. Jimmy's going to have to go to work until Jimmy is out of gas. Because we don't know when Steph Curry is coming back. But it's not looking good. And it's unfortunate. Unless the Warriors just have one of these biggest comebacks and have one of the biggest upsets that we've seen in a playoff series in a very long time. Missing your star player, NBA playoffs is one surefire way to have your season ended. Flat, period. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm worried about those Warriors, not so much about the Cavs. And right now, how about this? The Boston Celtics and the Knicks are in a rock fight. Boston leads 9-2, a little more than 6 minutes to go here to open up the game. Maybe the Knicks will find some offense sooner than later, or maybe the Celtics will shoot themselves out of it. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk about Mr. Clutch himself. We're going to get into Mr. Halliburton. We're going to go to Indianapolis. We're going to have a chat with Dustin Dobrik. He covers the Pacers for the Indianapolis Star. I want to get his thoughts on Halliburton. Does he feel confident that these Pacers are going to knock off the Cavaliers? There's so many things I want to get into. We'll have that conversation with Dustin on the other side. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got an Eastern Conference game going on right now. Boston, the New York Knicks just underway. Boston starting off hot 16-4. But last night, you want to talk about hot? Man, the Indiana Pacers, they got hot late. Went on a run. Tyrese Halliburton, a game-winning three to take a 2-0 series lead against the wounded Cleveland Cavaliers. Can they continue this run? Is Halliburton going to continue using this chip on his shoulder, this overrated mark, to talk about all things Indiana Pacers? Joining us right now is Dustin Dopierak, who covers all things Pacers for the Indianapolis Star. Dustin, how are you, man?
Doing well, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time and joining us. I guess first question out the gate, Tyrese Halliburton called overrated. When that poll came out last week, I know it was about 150 NBA players who only participated. Were you surprised that they put him at the top of that list?
I mean, not really, especially when you consider the methodology. I mean, it's 13 guys voted for him. You know, out of, I think there was about 150 guys that were pulled, but only 90 asked that question. I mean, I used to work at The Athletic. I know how they work these polls, basically. And you see all the Athletic guys coming in, you know, right around the second half of the season, around post All-Star break, you know, talking to everybody about these and doing these polls. And obviously they've got the opportunity to say, hey, I don't want to answer that one. I don't want to talk about who's overrated or not. And, you know, I mean, I think it's all a question of, all right, like, you know, there's obviously not a whole lot of consensus on this question. If 13 guys is enough for you to be number one, that means it's not like everybody in the league thinks that one guy is. And I could see how, you know, if you're looking at it and saying, all right, like, who's the guy that scares me the most to go defend? You know, like, who's the guy that I think can get by me easiest and is going to find a way to score on me no matter what? You know, I don't think he's that tough or whatever. I could see them looking at him and thinking, you know, like, he doesn't scare me as much as some other guys. And I think a lot of players do think of it as a one-on-one matchup, as imagining a scenario where you're guarding him and it's just you and him, and is he that much better than you? But appreciating Halliburton means watching him every night and really getting what he does on an overall basis and what he does for a team and basically how he makes all the pieces move, not just himself. And so I could see some guys not really getting that, not really understanding that, or Ty talks a lot. Ty makes a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And I could see some people thinking like, all right, he's not as good as he thinks he is or whatever. Or, you know, and it certainly depends on, you know, like, how do you think he's rated? I mean, do you think if you think he's a top 10 player, if you think everybody thinks he's a top 10 player, then, you know, he's probably not. But he's probably a top 20 player, you know. And so I guess it depends on how you think that is. So I could see various ways how a few guys come to think that he's overrated. I think if you forced everybody to rank everybody and kind of did it that way, would it be a different answer? You know, I don't know. I mean, but it's just, I mean, it does it shock me that 13 guys thought that? No. I mean, I think you can find 13 guys might think somebody else is overrated. So, you know, it's not that much of a shock, but I mean, I think it's weird when you hang it on him, and especially after covering him and just seeing how much he's changed the franchise and just how much different they are because of him. I mean, he's certainly, you know, they were in a rebuilding mode, and, you know, their rebuilding mode, you know, just got basically the time and the trajectory on that guy kind of cut in half because they were like, wow, you're able to make one trade with Sabonis and really retool and, you know, come out with a whole entire identity that's entirely based on the way that guy plays basketball, and all of a sudden you're in the Eastern Conference semifinals and up 2-0 for you know, a second year in a row that you have a chance to be an Eastern Conference Finals team at least, and it's mostly based on that guy. You know, how could a guy like that be overrated? And you look at it that way, then it doesn't sound that smart to put him at the top of that list.
Dustin Dopierik is here with us, covers the Pacers for the Indianapolis Star. We saw the big shot, the big three last night by Haliburton. We know that three of the Cavaliers stars were down, from Evan Mobley to Darius Garland. Also, you think about DeAndre Hunter with the thumb issue. 2-0 is 2-0 either way. What is your confidence level in the Pacers moving on past these Cavs?
I mean, I would say it's pretty high, you know, in terms of thinking it's going to happen. Because, I mean, you know, like, go win two on the road. You know, I mean, 2-0 on the road is different than 2-0 at home. You know, I mean, basically, like, if you go 2 up on the road at home, that's what you're supposed to do. And you go back into their place, you know, they're going to be charged up. But when you manage to take 2 at their place, and in such a way that they did, I mean, like, it's really, if you're the Cavs, losing that game 2 the way they did is really dispiriting, because you got an all-time performance from Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he was incredible. That's as good of a performance I've ever seen in a loss, I think, in almost in any sport ever. I mean, he was just so hard to stop. Just did so many things. When you get that good of a performance for somebody stepping up in a scenario where he doesn't have, you know, three of his best teammates, and he gives you that, and then you still can't put it away for them, you just feel like, man, like, what do you have to do? I mean, you go up 32-15 in the first quarter, you know, like, you do so much to make it hard for Haliburton. So much of that game was just like, they did so much right and got some contributions from so many guys, and you still don't win that game. You got a 7-point lead with 48 seconds to go, and you can't close it. You're just like the mountain starts to feel so much higher, and then you're going to their place. So, I mean, they've got to do some spectacular things. And, like, Mitchell's dealing with some kind of calf issue, and had battled through that and was just a warrior through that. And it's like, okay, can he do something like that again? And can you, you know, replicate the same stuff and do it, you know, do it against the Pacers, do that at least once to get it back to your place? I mean, you got to win there, what, 3 times, you know? You got to win there twice. Basically, you got to find a way to win 2 road games, either, you know, it game 3 and 4, or, you know, if it goes back to Indy for game 6, you got to find a way to win in Indiana twice to set yourself up, at least to get you a game 7. You got to win 3 there if you want to get it done in 6. So, yeah, I mean, they're in a really tough position. Don't know, you know, obviously they could get super energized if they get any of those three guys back, particularly if they get Mobley. I mean, I was really impressed by what Mobley did in game 1. And just the amazing skill set he has on both ends of the floor. I mean, he's just by far their best defender. And so, I mean, if you can get him a fully healthy version of him back, then that changes things. But if you don't, you know, it's hard to see where they get the push that they need to turn this thing around.
Dustin Dopierik covers the Indiana Pacers. When you think about Rick Carlisle, I mean, over the past couple of years, he doesn't get as much attention as some of the other head coaches in the league, whether it's the Ty Lues, the Doc Rivers of the world, whether it's good, bad, or in between. How has he changed since he arrived back in Indianapolis?
I think what's remarkable, and I didn't get on the beat until 2022, like 2022, 2023 season. So we already had Haliburton on the team, basically. Like, really, it's been pretty cohesive since then. But I think what everybody talks about, when everybody, any other coach is asked about him, what they're really impressed with is how he's changed and how he's been willing to change with the times and change with this team. I think Doc Rivers was just asked about him, you know, at the end of the series, I think right before game 5. And he said, you know, which really impresses me about Rick, because he coaches the team he has. And he's willing to go whatever different direction that is. He used to be the sort of guy to call to play, you know, just called a set on every single play, and was making sure that the point guard was looking over to him for the signal. And you know, he, when he got Haliburton, he's like, you know what, I don't want to call plays anymore. As I want to call as few plays as possible. I want you to run the show. And not only that, but would be willing to play this high up-tempo style and to let them be creative, basically. I mean, the offense is just based on randomized movement. I mean, they don't have a lot of called sets. I mean, they kind of freelance a lot, and they view it as kind of an organized chaos. And being able to trust that says a lot about Rick Carlisle. I mean, you know, I think it was a guy that used to like to micromanage and has slowly let that go over time, been more willing to delegate as a coach in terms of delegating his staff, but really delegating in terms of just trusting his players more. Haliburton in particular, I mean, he absolutely has a sense of, you know, Tyrese is genius. I mean, he's just, you know, like there are shortcomings you can see in him physically, obviously from the fact he's just not that well, you know, not that big, not that muscular, but obviously he's got a lot of speed, a lot of skill, but basketball IQ is off the charts. And Rick Carlisle sees that in him and his, you know, not only his understanding of X's and O's, but he's willing to connect to teammates and, you know, understand how to get the best out of them. And so he's got a willingness to trust that and willingness to have a team that plays up tempo and tries to score a lot of points. And then he shifted, you know, this year. I mean, they're still scoring a lot, but they've also just really dialed up full court pressure. And he's been willing to trust that. He's got a bigger rotation in the playoffs. They're playing 11 guys. I mean, it was kind of a shock. He went out with an all-sub lineup for like the last 5 minutes of the third quarter of that game. You know, just that required a lot of trust on his part to, you know, just trust the subs for that long. But they hung in there, and he went with three starters for the entire 12 minutes of the fourth. And it was a gamble that really paid off for him. It was a big part of the reason why they won that game. And so it's just, I think what's really impressive is that he's trusting his guys a lot more, but he's also willing to change styles. And you've got to remember, I mean, you go back to what he did for the Pacers and the Pistons, you know, in you know, the kind of early 2000s when it was a really, you know, grinded out game, and he's playing games in the 60s in the NBA and, you know, had that kind of grinded out, gritty, you know, early 2K game. And now it's a totally different ball game, and he's playing in 120s every night. But he's, you know, he's got a team that's what fits them, and that's what he's willing to do.
Hey, Dustin, final question for you. We know that they're up 2-0. We know that the Cavaliers, they got a couple days to get their guys healthy. But regardless of this series, if they advance, they don't advance, what do you realistically think is the likeliest outcome for their season this year?
You know, if you'd asked me that Saturday, I would say they're probably losing this series, and that's but they had a pretty good year, won 50 games, lose the number one seed in the East. You know, you're on a pretty good trajectory. Right now, I don't know. I mean, I can't look at them and say they can't do anything. And I think, you know, you look at these playoffs, and I think you based on how they've started off in the semifinals, you can't look there and say, well, you know, this is going to happen. I mean, like, you never had all four road teams win game one in the Eastern Conference or in the conference semifinals. Never happened. So, I mean, a lot of these playoffs are flipped on their head. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, I think Oklahoma City is the best team, and I like their roster the best, and I feel like whoever runs into them is going to have a problem. But Denver managed to pull off a road win over them in game one on Monday night. You know, I think Boston's a really good team and super talented, but the Knicks, you know, found a way to beat them on the road. You know, I thought Cleveland was going to be, you know, an incredibly difficult team to beat, and they're down a couple guys, and the Pacers are up 2-0. So, I mean, I don't know what's likely at this point. Again, if you ask me at the beginning of the playoffs, I'd say, okay, I think they're probably going to beat Milwaukee, but Cleveland's probably going to be too much. And if Cleveland's not too much, then Boston will be too much. But, you know, Boston has shown some vulnerabilities. I think the Pacers, they've already shown they can beat the Knicks. If the Knicks manage to pull this thing off, you know, I think that the Pacers are going to be a really difficult matchup because of all the minutes that they've put on their starters. And I think the Pacers could certainly wear them down. I think that the, you know, playing the Knicks again would be a good matchup for the Pacers. So, you know, whoever comes out of the other bracket, if the Pacers manage to pull this off and put the Cavs away, I don't think either the Celtics or the Knicks are impossible for the Pacers to beat. I would think Boston would be harder. You know, certainly they're a championship team. They've won it. They're going to have that experience. They know what it takes, basically. They've been down before. They know how to come back. The Pacers have to get a lead on game one in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and the Celtics managed to come back. So, I mean, they could certainly find a way to turn it on. So I would think that if they beat the Cavs and the Celtics, you know, come back and win that series, they'll probably lose to the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I can't sit here and tell you they'll definitely lose to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not willing to say anything is definite with this group because they keep surprising me. You shouldn't win a game when you're down 7 with 48 seconds to go. Like, you shouldn't. I mean, someone has to screw up
on the other
side for you to put yourself in that position. You shouldn't be able to win that game. You know, I mean, the Cavs didn't get a shot or a free throw attempt in the last 48 seconds. Like, that's not supposed to happen. You know, you did that two dumb turnovers, basically. Then Mitchell, you know, obviously swinging his elbows a little too high. And then, you know, Max Strus just flinging the ball in the air and letting Andrew Nembhard pick it off on that field. I mean, that's not a game you should lose if you're the Cavs when you're in that kind of control. But, you know, it happened. And the Pacers keep finding ways to win games like that. The Bucks shouldn't have lost a game that they were up by 7 with 48 seconds to go. They had no business losing that game in Game 5. They should have been able to at least force a 6th game there and push that thing a little bit further. So I keep thinking, hey, this stuff shouldn't happen, but it keeps happening. So until it stops happening, I'm not going to say there's anything that's beyond this team.
Yeah, well, let's see how far they can go. I know Tyrese Halliburton is going to milk every second and minute of this overrated stuff. Yeah, he's going to work that one. Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, well, we know he's going to put it on a T-shirt, Dustin. I know that's coming, man.
Oh, Absolutely. He's already calling to find out who wants it. So, oh, yeah, he's going to get that thing on a T-shirt, on a flag, on everything else. So Tyrese knows marketing, let me tell you.
Hey, yeah, you got to take a negative and turn it into a positive. Hey, Dustin, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work with the Indianapolis Star?
Yeah, just IndyStar.com is where you find all our stuff. You know, click on the sports section, on the Pacers section. You can see everything we've wrote. We've got ton of coverage, obviously, coming off of Game 2, just for myself and a whole bunch of others, contributing in that. So you can see what I wrote, you can see what Greg Doyle wrote, you can see what other guys on our team put together, video and everything else. Come check that out. You can obviously find me on X at Dustin Dupirak and Blue Sky at Dustin Dupirak, Blue Sky, however those handles go. You know, I'm easy to find. So I make it pretty simple on everybody. But, yeah, come check out our stuff. And we're pretty proud of the coverage we put together so far in the series.
Hey, it looks like you got a whole lot more to cover if the Pacers continue with this. Hey, Dustin, we'll catch you on down the line, man. Thank you.
Sounds good, man. Thanks so much. Anytime.
Absolutely. That Dustin Dupirak covers all things Pacers for the Indianapolis Star. He thinks, well, I mean, it's easy to say going up 2-0, but hey, the sky's the limit for these Pacers. I don't know if I'd put them past the Celtics. I'll tell you this much, though. The Cavaliers got something to worry about if they're not healthy. This series is not over yet. I think it's going to go down to the wire. If the Cavaliers can come back healthy, that's Mobley, Hunter, and Garland. And now you got to worry about Mitchell and his leg? Ugh. Hey, injuries happen in the postseason, unfortunately. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about someone else. I don't know if he's overrated. People said he's overrated. Maybe that's why he fell in the draft. His name is Shedeur Sanders. Tom Brady, who is now an owner, a part owner, minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, he was asked why the Raiders didn't draft his buddy, his dad's son, Shedeur Sanders. We'll hear what Tom Brady had to say on the other side of the break. And then, of course, at the top of the hour, it is Wednesday. It's going to be time for a new top six list. And shout-outs to Mr. Three-Point Shot Overrated Halliburton. We're going to share with you a top six list of the most clutch athletes ever. That top six list is coming your way in a little more than 20 minutes. But right now, what's going on in the world of sports? What's going on between the Celtics and the Knicks? Right now, it's a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
No, but thank you. I'll take it. I really will. I'll take it. I'll take the compliment. It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we got this game going on. The Boston Celtics are just going to run the New York Knicks all over the place, and then the New York Knicks are just going to be, this will be chasing them down, I guess, all series long. I don't expect 45 missed threes. Right now, the Boston Celtics lead the Knicks 30-23. There's about 7 minutes to go here in the first half of the game. If you are interested in what this box score might look like, the New York Knicks are the ones that are trying to figure out the three ball. A matter of fact, they're both trying to figure out the three ball. The Knicks are 1 of 9 from downtown. Ouch. The Boston Celtics, they are still currently 3-14. And so if you weren't sick of three-pointers the first damn time, welcome to this game two, where we will certainly see more and more nonsense. It's just too many damn threes. We'll keep you up to date on the game as it continues on. Hey, thank you so much to our guest in the last break. Dustin Dupirak joined us from the Indianapolis Star to talk about the Indianapolis Pacers and the Indiana Pacers. And, of course, Tyrese Halliburton is being yelled at every chance and every opportunity that he's He's overrated. Well, last night he showed everybody how overrated he might be. Also, late last night, as this started to populate the internet, these clips started to really circulate about someone else who might be considered overrated. His name? Shedeur Sanders. And the guy who was talking about Shedeur Sanders, his name is Tom Brady. Yeah, you might recall Tom Brady is a minority owner now of the Las Vegas Raiders. Tom Brady has some juice when it comes down to who is selected, who is drafted, who is not picked when it comes down to the Las Vegas Raiders. And, I mean, we've heard so much about the relationship between Shedeur Sanders and Tom Brady. There was a video that went viral about a year ago about how Tom Brady was telling Shedeur that he needs to spend more time in his books and less thinking about cars. And Shedeur has worked with Tom Brady. We've seen all of that. But you know what the Raiders did? They didn't pick this man. And they had 7 opportunities to do so. And so Tom Brady was on the Impulsive podcast. And he was asked specifically, hey, why did Shedeur fall? Also, aren't you a boss with the Raiders? Why the hell didn't you go ahead and select them? And listen to this nonsense that Tom Brady came up with.
Shedeur Sanders, why did he go so late in the draft?
It's a good question. I wouldn't have part of any evaluation process or to
Skip Bayless says
that.
Otherwise.
That's the problem with media is everyone can just say whatever the f*** they want. I actually texted Shedeur because I know him very well. And I said, dude, whatever happens, wherever you go, that's your first day. Day 2 matters more than the draft. I was 199. Yeah, who could speak on it better than me? Like what that really means. Use it as motivation. You're going to get your chances. Go take advantage of it.
Now, that audio is courtesy of the Impulsive podcast. And yes, it's a podcast. There's a bunch of guys sitting around going through questions. Jake Paul was sitting there talking to Tom Brady. Which brother was it?
That was Logan.
What's the difference? Is there a difference?
One's a boxer, one's a wrestler. They're basically the same.
Okay.
Both bad people. But.
It's like Dumb and Dumber, right? Like okay.
Logan. Thing one and thing two.
Like Dr. Seuss.
Yep, Cat in the Hat.
It might as well be. It's sitting down, Logan, Jake, whichever one it was, talking to Tom Brady. Tom Brady kind of took some time to answer the question. It wasn't so cut and clean like that beautiful edit from the Impulsive podcast. It was a little bit more, I wasn't a part of the yes, you were. The fact of the matter is, if Tom Brady wanted to select Shedeur Sanders, he could have told them to do so. And you want to know what John Spytek, who came over from Tampa Bay, who's now the GM of the Raiders, you know what he would have did? He said, yes, boss. Hey, you want to know who the majority owner? You want to know what the majority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders would have said? The son of Al? You want to know what Mark would have said? You go, yes, boss. Like Mark Davis pretty much said as much last year. Tom Brady is going to have input on what we do at the quarterback position. And so when Tom Brady is asked why they ain't select Shedeur, for Tom Brady to just say, hey, you know, I didn't have that much influence. Well, come on, man. Who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? And so everybody could run around and say that Shedeur is overrated or Halliburton is overrated. We're going to find out soon enough. Is Shedeur Sanders a fifth-round pick? Is he a first-round talent? This guy was bandied about to be a first-round talent right behind Cam Ward. He fell all the way to the fifth round. I know this sounds pretty terrible. This sounds like an awful thing. Just please bear with me. He was saved by the Cleveland Browns. That sounds awful, right? That sounds like you're getting set up for failure. He was saved by the Cleveland Browns in the first round. And I know the Browns got some guys that he should be able to go out there and beat out. A Flacco. You got Gabriel in the same damn draft, drafted ahead of him. This is bad. You got Kenny Pickett out there. And so, yeah, it's easy for Tom Brady to just go, hey, man, well, it's not where you got drafted. I was number 199. It's not where you got drafted. It's where you finish. Here's the thing. there were no expectations for Tom Brady coming out of Michigan. There wasn't a famous dad when Tom Brady was drafted out of Michigan. Like, even though he was selected fifth overall, people are going to be paying a lot of attention to Shador. I don't think we've ever had somebody taken this late in the draft who has garnered this much attention. I mean, damn it, there's a guy, and this is legitimate. You can go ahead and Google it. Don't do it if you're driving. There's a guy who is deciding to sue the NFL. He's a Colorado fan. What a shock. He's suing the NFL for $100 million, basically for pain and suffering because he had to watch Shador fall in the draft. You can't make this stuff up. Yeah, Halliburton, not overrated. Shador, we're going to find out, I don't know, at the end of the year. It's not going to take that long for us to find out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? Forget overrated. When we come back, it's time for a new top six list. We're going to talk about guys who are not overrated. These are some of the greatest of all time. It's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, I bring you a new top six list. Thank you, Mr. Halliburton, for the inspiration. We're going to take a look at the top six clutch athletes ever. I'm going to tell you who the best guys are when the going gets tough. And yeah, Halliburton, you might have inspired the list. He ain't on it, so don't look for him. Top six clutch athletes on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network. Don't move.